This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri. Fatima Kashavars is here, and she's our guest. She holds the Roshan Chair in Persian Studies and directs the School of Languages, Literature, and Cultures at the University of Mehran College Park. But she is a poet, first and foremost. So let us hear her voice, Fatima, with an opening poem.
An ode to America. Your tall buildings, the night's reachable stars, your vast supermarkets, neat flower shops, your brightly colored fast cars on gliding highways, your big guns, they all work. And yet you must not forget the beauty in simple things. That's how you started. It has come once more to simple things. Bread and soup will save swollen-bellied kids from vultures. And shoes will help boys and girls caught in permanent wars to hold on to their dream of walking to safety. For bare feet, no one can go far. Why scratch the face of the earth, your own face? Why be mighty when you can be married to amazement, inviting, intriguing, the world's light in so many ways? The war is over. It has to be. For soon there will be no peace left for anyone, or anyone left to look for peace. Mm. The world dares to love you when you come with your feet humble and your hands bare, not rifled. The world remembers how to speak when you turn off the roaring guns. Dancing in the vastness of daylight, the world with people in it, walking tall, olive-skinned and able, dancing in the vastness of daylight to the rhythm of flowers bursting open, not bombs, flowers giddy with their own scent. The world dancing to the drumbeat of small unknown hearts. Everyone is always a bit like you, and all the while like themselves. See them. See the suns that rise in their wake, shedding warmth onto your long winters, the earth's winters. Let the birds of words, loud and surprising, take off in large numbers from your fields, as if wild lupines were growing in the palm of your hands. Not words that poison the joy of the unknown, but words that gush forth from lips and cool down the silent wounds of anger, like rivers in seasons of drought. Face the eastern horizon sometimes and listen. Listen for the music of a distinct laughter. Do not steal your glance. If you come with your feet humble and your hands bare, not rifled, the world will dare to love you.
Fatima Kashavars, with a message to America. I hope America is listening. She was born in Shiraz, which is southwest Iran, and her undergraduate degree is from Shiraz University, her doctorate in Near Eastern Studies, University of London. Fatima, what is the Persian study that you administer?
Well, it's a group of wonderfully cultured and dedicated people who have studied Persian language, literature, culture, and history. It's about six of us. and we are a part of the School of Languages, Literatures, and Cultures.
Which you direct.
That's right, in University of Maryland, which houses all the languages and literatures that are not English. And so we have really a small United Nations there. It's wonderful.
And you, speaking of the United Nations, I think you addressed the General Assembly. Tell us, if you can collapse your thoughts, what was the main thing you said to the General Assembly?
Well, I thought there were representatives of over 450 countries there, and they wanted advice on culture in service of peace. So I told them, fund high schools to send young people to each other's countries. Just help them go somewhere else and meet other people.
But do you think that is really going to happen? I mean, you see wonderful speeches being made at the UN, and you are invited, which is a great honor. But do you have the hope? I want the hope that they will take that to heart and do something.
I do too, and that's why I didn't give a long, philosophical discourse on what peace is. I said, send young people to meet each other. That's how we will make peace.
It's the only way. It's the only way. When we know the smell of another person's kitchens,
yes,
and we know they are like us.
And meet their grandfathers and grandmothers.
That is the way.
And, pet their cat. That's the way. That's the way we just know that we don't have to fight each other.
Fatima Kashavars, you are a cultural ambassador, but more than anything else, you are a poet today. You're our poet, and we want another poem. Now, this is going to be a long recitation.
All right, so I have to just say that the phrase cowboys and Iranians I took from a wonderful book I read recently called The Limits of Whiteness, and it was about that. I've changed the name, so nothing in the poem is actually real, but the incident is real. So the people are fictitious. Cowboys and Iranians. Let us play cowboys and Iranians, said the sign in front of Dwyer Denton's diner in Carlton, North Carolina. It had been there since the days of American hostages. It's good for business, thought Dwyer, every time he looked at it, complete with an effigy of a turbaned man, a noose around his neck. The sign had brought business to the neglected area. For about 40 years, Iran had gone from a central to a marginal villain and back in the center again. Had the sign continued to be good for business? There was no harm in keeping it, Dwyer had thought. Dwyer, wherever in the world you are, and whoever's neck is the symbolic target of your actual news, Iranians, Mexicans, Jews, Blacks, Muslims, think again. For it is not good for business anymore. It is not good for business, not if business includes staying alive, enjoying some measure of peace and dignity, and letting others do the same, even if the others are Mexicans, Jews, Blacks, and Muslims, or Iranian cancer patients, terrified that sanctions will stop them from getting their chemo medications. Dwyer, some of us have a radical idea. We can all live together. No matter how different we may look, there are ways to translate ourselves into stories in the book that tells the tale of our struggles. There are worlds to connect when we extend our arms. There are stories to tell each other that nooses know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
Dwyer, wherever in the world you are, listen to me. And if what I say moves you for 1 second, let me borrow your childhood self. The 10-year-old Dwyer Denton for 1 day. Let me show you places you will not see otherwise. You want to know something about me? I grew up in the city of Shiraz in Iran, famous for its cypress trees, poetry, roses, and wine, in a middle-class family, much like any other. Now I live in D.C., a Muslim, a teacher, a feminist, a seeker of peace and justice, a woman, a poet, and a target for your sharp-shooting cowboys.
Mm.
Although I love American diners, I cannot visit yours. The thought of a noose around any neck scares the daylight out of me. Did you know that I shared your 444 days of anguish when the American hostages were held in Iran? I know that that tragedy hurt you. Do you know that it hurt me twice as much? Once because I feared for their lives, and once because I felt responsible for the whole thing. I felt as if I should have been able to stop it, even though I was a poor college student in England. For over 1 year, I went around the weight of the world on my shoulders. Are you surprised? Please don't be. I have American friends who feel that way every time America's war machine goes into action and kills, in the name of democracy, or something in that vein. I have American friends who feel the weight of the world on their shoulders when that happens. I've seen them cover their faces in their hands when, on the safety of our television screens, buildings go up in smoke in Baghdad, Fallujah, or Kabul, and people bloodied and bare feet run amidst the confusion of falling bombs. You see what I mean when I say we are translatable into each other in ways that nooses do not understand. Will you now let the 10-year-old you hold hands with the 10-year-old me to connect our worlds, places that you have not seen, places that I dream about every day? My childhood house in Shiraz, the walnut tree we used to hide behind to surprise each other, my favorite stores that sell Persian cookies, and the covered bazaar in the old city, where the strong scent of spices make you giddy. The bazaar's always crowded. We must walk behind my mother in lockstep. We must hold on to the hem of her chador, the surest way not to get lost. Mother's chador, brown with small flower prints that make it playful in the wind. I still hold on to it when I feel lost. Inside the house, I show you my small room, filled with happy and sad thing. The pendant my favorite uncle gave me, one Nowruz, my bad grades on spelling tests. We hear my parents arguing in the hallway. I did not plan it that way. But so what? Your parents must argue sometimes. Father can be unreasonable, and mother too stubborn to let him get away with it. In the yard, you're fascinated with the persimmon trees. But before you even see the oranges, look, mother has stepped out into the yard. She is walking towards the main door. So is father. They're not arguing. That is my little sister, Fairy. She looks happy. It is healing time already. Quick, Dwyer, we must jump into the taxi with them, or we'll be left behind. Where are we? Where are we going? That's easy. The mausoleum of Hafez or Sadi. No, it is not grim. In Shiraz, everything leads to visiting Hafez or Sadi, or some other poet, especially if it's healing time. Sadi is my favorite, full of funny stories that even a 10-year-old can understand. On the big blue door to his mausoleum, it says, and I'm proud to be able to read it to you, "From the earth that holds the body of Sadi of Shiraz comes the scent of love, even if you come to it 1,000 years after his death." Neither of us knows what the scent of love means. Now I know dictionaries do not either. Inside the mausoleum, you're shocked with the explosion of color. Geraniums are everywhere, and there's cypress trees, and around the rectangular pond, its floor covered in shiny coins. I'll take you down the the steps in the left corner of the yard to the edge of an underground stream so filled with silvery fish that the water cannot be seen. There is the breadcrumbs to feed the fish. Back in the yard, parents are strolling near the pond. The air is lighter. Smiles are back in earnest when Bastani dishes are in front of us. In the famous creamery next to the tomb, Bastani Saadi, Saadi ice cream. Garnished with cardamom seeds and pistachio nuts. Could this be the scent of love? Back at the house, I show you the tall jasmine tree climbing the south wall. But our day is over. We must grow up and out of this poem and go our separate ways. You must now trust me when I tell you that the people you met do not smile much anymore. They are the longest held hostages in history. For the past 40 years, they have lived in the shadow of war and sanctions, dreading the American war machine.
Mm.
For the past 40 years, they have not worried about what people outside Iran worry about. Instead, they have watched food disappear from their grocery stands, medication from their drugstores, and passenger planes deprived of spare parts fall out of their skies. It could be worse, they comfort themselves. Look at what happened in Syria. And they soldier on with their house chores, art exhibits, school works, TV shows, book fairs, charity works, and poetry. For who wants to live without art, silvery fish, ice cream, and poetry? The closest you can come to the scent of love. No, Dwyer, angry cowboys, nooses and war machines know nothing about the business of life. They cannot eat ice cream or feed the fish. That sign is not good for business. Take it down.
How beautiful and powerful. Silverfish, ice cream, and poetry. That's the title of your next book, Fatima Kashavars. And she is the author of 6 books. The latest is Reading Mystical Lyric about the poet Rumi. And we would like to know, who is Rumi? When did he live? And why is he so important?
Well, Rumi lived in the 13th century, and his family moved from eastern Khorasan in east of Iran to present-day Turkey, where he grew up and died. He is an amazing thinker and poet, and what I love about him is that he's all about play and surprise and breaking the rules, and while at the same time, he is a master of those rules, and you can see how good he can use them.
But what is a mystic?
A mystic is a person who wants you to look inside yourself, to see and inside other things, and try to see more than the surface of things, which is what we are so fascinated with in the life that we live right now. So he asks us to stop and see deeper than the surface and see who we are and what we can do and how we can connect with others, because inside we are so alike.
And so he has become a great spiritual icon in America. Many people are now translating his work, and you're devoting a big part of your life to him, to his work, and to discussing his messages. Where can we hear you talk about Rumi?
Well, I have a podcast that I started a year ago called Radio Rumi, and you can find it on iTunes or Spotify or just simply a Google Radio Rumi.
And how about your name? If we say Fatima Kashavars on Google, will it pop up?
It will.
Okay. And what are you trying to do with his voice?
I'm trying to go a little bit deeper than what the new age, the kind of general popular presentation of him presents him, which is sometimes like they don't really see him as a Muslim. It seems to be a negative thing for him. I want to show that he was a very traditional Muslim, and at the same time, he was so radical, so ready to break the rules, to just recognize other people, and for example, recognize us as body and soul both. He never, for example, divided us into two compartments, body and soul, one good and one bad. We are the same being, and he wants us to honor both.
And
in
love,
fact, I can read you a poem that he talks about that.
I want that. Love is his glue, right? This is Fatima Kashavars, and she is a disciple of Rumi.
If anyone asks you about Huris, show your face. Say, like this. If anyone asks you about the moon, climb up on the roof. Say, like this.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone seeks a fairy, let them see your countenance. If anyone talks about the aroma of musk, untie your hair. Say, like this.
Mm.
If anyone asks, how do the clouds uncover the moon? Untie the front of your robe, knot by knot. Say, like this. If anyone asks, how did Jesus raise the dead? Kiss my soul on the lips. Say, like this. If anyone asks, what are those killed by love like? Direct him to me. Say, like this.
Oh, knocks me out. And Muhammad mentions Jesus also. I mean, Jesus is not alien from Islamic tradition.
Not at all. In fact, the woman who's named more than any other woman in the Quran is Mary. Mary is given as an example for pious people anywhere in any tradition. So they're honored very much. And Jesus is the soul of God in the Quran.
You know, I wish people could hear you talk more. I wish that every living soul could understand this. There is just not a general understanding about this.
But that's why I'm hoping they would listen to my podcast. I'll do my best. Like, I'm like a jog taking some from an ocean, which is Rumi. But I'll try to share that jog with others.
Share us a little more from your jar about Rumi, because he is delicious to hear.
Oh, absolutely. So I want to read another ghazal to you, which is very famous, a ghazal poem. I was dead. I came to life. I was a cry. I turned into laughter. The fortune of love fell upon me, and I turned into everlasting fortune. He said, you're not crazy. You do not deserve to live in this house. I became crazy. I put myself in chains. He said, you're not drunk enough. Give up this pretense. You're not the right type. I became drunken. I became full of enchantment. He said, you're not dead. You're not smeared with joy. Before his life-giving face, I died and fell. He said, you are a little too intelligent. Affected with fancy and disbelief, I became foolish. I became ignorant. I freed myself of all. He said, you've become a light-giving candle. You have become a Kaaba to these people. Not a candle, not even together. I became dispersed like smoke.
I can't get enough of him. And if the audience wants more, they just have to Google Radio Rumi and they will hear. Is it every week or every month?
I try to do it every 2 weeks.
And we can hear more and more of this fascinating, beautiful voice.
And actually over 20 programs are already there. So if they start, they have a lot to catch up, and then there will be new programs.
It's a force of meditation. Too.
Absolutely.
Just listening, you get into that and you're in another world, another zone.
And you're connected with yourself.
And you're healed.
Yes, absolutely.
And now we need a final poem.
Well, I want to read a poem about Taj Mahal because I was in India with my husband and a group of people working on manuscripts. And I just absolutely love Taj Mahal and the people who work to put those beautiful gems into the building. So I want to read about that. And the poem is called Gratitude. Taj Mahal, most eloquent marble poem ever spoken by the earth. Jewel in the crown of ordinary Indians. You owe your wordless majesty to unknown bleeding fingertips, not always cherished, thanked, or fussed over, even recognized for their skills to polish to perfection the pieces of cornelian jade and lapis lazuli that glow in your translucent veins, as if you shared the blood in their fingers, as if you could bleed like them. Taj Mahal, most eloquent marble poem with blood in your translucent veins, in your wordless glory, you know every one of those bleeding fingertips. In fact, you have kissed them reverently every day. Of that, I am sure. Of that, I am sure, for how else would every inch of your divine perfection dance, leaving earthly footprints of laughter on the heavens above, like birds breathing life into the shoreless blue with their dancing figures. No such complicated beauty as yours can ever shine in real life except through the simplicity of gratitude. You have kissed those bleeding fingertips in gratitude. Of that, I am sure.
This is holy work. This poetry is holy work. The voice of Fatima Keshavarz. She is on The Poet and the Poem. And the program is produced by Forest Woods Media Productions, post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making this program possible. Funding is provided by the Reva and David Logan Foundation and the Sinipet Fund. Our engineer is Mike Turpin. I'm Grace Cavalieri.